Good to go.
And safe.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Planning Authority meeting for the month of October. Welcome to councillors, senior staff, and members of the public gallery. Just a reminder that an audio recording of this Planning Authority meeting will be made in accordance with our audio recording of council and Planning Authority meetings policy 7.11. The audio recording will be available on council's website within 7 business days after this meeting. I would like to begin by acknowledging the Palawa Pakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 2 is attendance. Everyone is present, thank you. Item 3 is apologies. There are no apologies. Item 4 is public question time and deputations, and there aren't any. Item 5 is declaration of interest. Does anyone wish to declare an interest on anything on the agenda this evening? Councillor Della Torre.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Conflict with item 6.1.
Thank you. You'll be stepping out for that?
I will.
Yes. Thank you. That's noted. Item 6 is Council acting as a planning authority in accordance with the provisions of Part 2, Regulation 25, the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015. The intention of the Council to act as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 is to be noted. Item 6.1. Item 6.1 is a development application, SA 2023-0019 for a subdivision, 3 lots plus balance at 10 Alana Court, Old Beach, and includes 31 and 89 Baskerville Road, Old Beach as well. And I think at this point I'll hand over to David.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, so this one relates to a 3.24 hectare site at the end of Alana Court. As you can see, it's split zoned with approximately 3,500 square metres of gen residential zoned land, and the balance is rural zoned. General residential component of the land is obviously an odd shape, and as a result, we have a bit of an odd layout for our subdivision as shown on the screen there. So there'd be 3 new lots off a small extension to Alana Court, and the turning head for the subdivision will actually be in that rural zoned area. The site is subject to the Old Beach Quarry specific area plan, which prevents sensitive use in that area, bushfire prone areas code and a natural values code. The servicing of the land requires 31 and 89 Baskerville Road to be part of the application as well. In regards to discretions, there's lot design and frontage, so obviously lots 2 and 3 there don't have the frontage required and effectively internal lots. We determine that it meets the performance criteria, and as discussed later as well, that there's a sufficient land to create access in there, although some retaining walls and extra engineering will be required to get those driveways in there. The lot design and lot size relating to the rural component of the land, so that goes below the 40 hectare minimum requirement. Obviously, it doesn't actually change the amount of land that's in the rural zone, and it will effectively continue to operate as it does now. So we consider that to meet the performance criteria. Parking and access, as I just discussed, we've determined that you can actually get parking and access in there as required under the scheme. We'll require some retaining walls, and we're also asking that the access to lot 3 is constructed for the length of that internal access there. In regards to the subdivision in the priority vegetation area, we actually got a natural values assessment done after advertising based on some of the representations. That natural values assessment did show that there's potentially some habitat for devils and quolls, and did identify one den. The report we got back actually said it should be referred to under the EPBC Act. Instead, we actually asked them to go and do further studies into that den and whether it was actually suitable for nesting habitat. An addendum to the report was provided, and it showed that they set up cameras, and it was determined that it wasn't suitable for nesting habitat. So the natural values assessment has been updated and said that this proposal is suitable to go ahead. So we did get three representations on this one relating to stormwater disposal. Officers are satisfied that detailed stormwater design will be adequate, and I'll let Lee answer any questions that you might have on that one later. There was a representation on natural values, which I've already discussed. Another one on future development and potential overshadowing. These lots are quite big. And any overshadowing will be assessed on any future development application for a dwelling. And there's also another representation in there about the future sub-potential on the rural zone part of the land. But obviously that's not part of this assessment. And we don't need to consider it any further as part of this assessment. So the application is recommended for approval. There's quite a few non-standard conditions on there, so one around no vegetation removal other than that necessary for the subdivision, around weed management, part 5 agreement for hazard management areas for the bushfire, and also some quite onerous conditions around the stormwater system and the downstream public stormwater system has to be upgraded to accommodate 5% rainfall event. We've also asked that the upgrade, the pipes from the property to the south boundary, from the property to the boundary of Baskerville Road, the southern side of Baskerville Road, and also piping the open drain across the front of 26 Baskerville Road, and also upgrading the open drain that runs between 26 and 1426 Baskerville Road, or a contribution. So the recommendation is for approval.
Thank you, David. Probably just a couple of quick questions from me. The clearing the land for the subdivision, can you just reiterate what is involved in that? I mean, obviously there are some, on one of the plans that I saw, there were some areas where the buildings will be able to be built.
Yeah, that's right. So the condition on there that says that you can only clear what's necessary for the subdivision. So what we would accept for that is for the constructions of the accesses and also construction of the extension of Alana Court and that temporary turning head, mm-hmm. and also for some bushfire hazard management areas. So there will be quite a significant amount of clearing on that land, but obviously the natural values assessment that we've had has taken that into account and determined that it's not going to have a significant impact on any of the habitat.
And a clearing of the house site later will obviously be, that'll be done when the building permit is put in place?
That's right. So under the gen res component of the land, the natural values, the overlay doesn't actually apply to the general res zone for the land.
Yep, okay. Yep. So they can clear that.
Yep.
Probably a question for Lee. Can you just go over the stormwater won't cause any, there was a couple of representations in regards to the effect of the stormwater on neighbouring properties. You're quite confident that the planning they've put forward will cover and not have any adverse effects on those neighbouring properties?
Yes, so we've recommended conditions which cover upgrading of downstream infrastructure to accommodate flows from the subdivision. There is condition on a couple of those items to make a financial contribution to council rather than undertaking the works. So, for example, the existing stormwater main from the southeastern corner of the subdivision down to Basketball Road, that's already in place. That will accommodate the flows from these three additional lots, but may not accommodate additional flow that would be generated from further subdivision. So whilst we've sort of given the option that it can be upgraded now or they can make a contribution and then we can use that to upgrade it or put towards the upgrade of it at the time of future subdivision, there are other sections which we've said need to be done now. So condition 41B involves piping the existing open drain which runs across the northeastern corner of number 26 Baskerville Road. There are some issues there that are existing, so that's a requirement of this development that gets upgraded and piped. And then additionally, the open drain that runs down through the number 26 Baskerville Road and 1426 East Derwent Highway that extends down to the East Derwent Highway. There is a requirement that be upgraded, or again, alternatively, we could consider a financial contribution for that, given that there's unlikely to be any sort of adverse impacts on property or buildings in the short term, but that we would have that this developer would pay their fair share of the upgrading of that. So the system, is required to be upgraded by this developer. Additionally, there's an open drain, a cut-off drain. So at the moment, overland flow from the land above would come down potentially to a number of properties on Basketball Road. The proposal is that there would be a cut-off drain to intercept any of that runoff, and it sort of diverts it back across to be dispersed on the undeveloped land to the east of those properties, and would then sort of disperse down to Basketball Road as it does at the moment.
So that, by the sound of it, that's actually an improvement?
It should be. The development should result in a net improvement in stormwater onto those properties that are fronting on the northern side of Basketball Road.
Yeah. Councillors? Yeah,
yes. Thanks, Mayor. Basically on the same issue that the Mayor raised in relation to the stormwater. What is the intent now, or was the intent for all the water from the in front of 31, 29, 27, etc., intended to go down Basketball Road on that side of the road rather than shoving it across to 26 side? Because there's a significant problem there with 26. You can have a look at the aerial photograph. You can see where the water's coming under, and there's a big arc around the house being created and a dam placed below the house at 26 to capture that water. So was that intended to be like that, or is that something that's developed over time?
There is an easement through there, so I assume that was the intent that it is taken there. But that said, at some point in time, there'll be upgrades to Basketball Road. We're going to need to deal with the drainage from Basketball Road, and there are options longer term as to whether that stormwater gets directed down through that existing easement, or there's opportunity for it to continue down Basketball Road and then come back around the corner and then back down, or it could be a combination of both. And that's one of the reasons for leaving the option for a contribution for the upgrade of the open drain down the eastern boundaries of those properties. So subject to further detailed stormwater design, we've rec- requested that, or we've conditioned that they have to provide an amended stormwater management report, so that we can get more detail on the further design of the system and ensure that it is going to work. But also leave the flexibility there to look at various options.
And my other, it's still related to that, the cut-off drain across the top of the subdivision. I can see that being concentrating water onto 87, and then eventually it'll end up in that drain.
Yes.
That open drain.
So
it will be even a bigger problem.
So any runoff would end up there at the moment. So the cut-off drain, there is a condition from memory.
Page 42, I think. What's that?
For the cut-off drain to disperse to, there be an easement created over the adjacent property of a sufficient size that allows for the dispersion of that open drain. Under normal circumstances, that cut-off drain would not necessarily be required or conditioned. It was something that was proposed by the developer.
It's pretty steep up there.
Yeah.
You can see water sheeting down that hill.
Yeah. It may be that if the property is fenced, that the fencing alone will achieve the similar result to the open drain, in that any overland flow that comes down through there would be deflected by the fence. But providing the vegetation is maintained in the interim on the balance block, much of the water should be a dispersed sheet flow across the site rather than a concentrated flow.
Thanks, Lee.
Councillors, any further questions?
Councillor
Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Lee, a couple for you first. I don't think there's a condition that says anything other than the turning head will be gravel, temporary turning head. Is that right? I suppose I ask because the balanced land is rural and there's no indication that that will ever be developed. So I'm just wondering why we'd allow gravel turning head and not require it to be sealed.
So condition 29B is that full depth pavement construction and asphalt seal, including the turning head.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. A further question, I'm not sure whether this is for David or Lee. The bushfire management plan requires management of lot 4, so the property, the balance property, and there's a part 5 agreement for that. But when someone complains that that's not sort of under control, then who is to assess that? Would that be something that council would be required to do, or something that would go back on the bushfire practitioner, or would we just go around in circles until like nothing's done? I'm just wondering who's going to be responsible for that.
Yeah, the part 5 agreement states that it's the responsibility of the owner of lot 4 to maintain that. So that will go, that part 5 agreement will go on the title. So if it becomes an issue, then we can point to the Part 5 agreement.
Yeah, and who determines when it's an issue?
Well, it's like most of these things. If someone complains, then we can look back on the permit and use that as a thing. I mean, there's lots of these around the place. Sometimes they're pulled up for when we're looking at abatement notices and things like that.
Yeah, but this is a little bit different than a fire abatement. This is sort of keeping vegetation to a certain height. It goes beyond a fire abatement. Like it may happen a few times a year sort of thing, not just...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just meeting the requirement of the planning scheme. If it states there that it's the responsibility of the owner. Unless there's no one actively going around looking at all the Part 5 agreements and making sure they're maintained. But
I I think that works on a larger property where the house is surrounded by your own land, but when we're relying on a neighbour to do something to satisfy your requirements, and having to do that three or four times possibly a year, like me or you mowing our lawn, then I'm not sure how that would happen ongoing. Like, I just think it's...
If water comes down here, that's a stormwater pipe there.
And it creates some issues, and if no one's willing to put their hand up and say they're in control of it, then I'm just wondering who is. Like,
this dam, stop the water from hitting this.
Isn't Part 5 mainly looked after by council? Some of the other councils looked after Part 5.
I mean, we look at Part 5, like if it, it's like any input, like the conditions on housing permits,
and Google Maps,
you know, when we have a development compliance officer now, so if it becomes an issue, there's a complaint, then we deal with it. It's not something we can necessarily actively look at.
I just thought you might, you know, do every so regularly, just check it, like the people, it's only once a year, just check to make sure that it's been...
Now that we have a compliance officer, it might be something we can do, because we just haven't had the capacity in the past.
Yeah, for him, that'd be ideal. Yep.
Just further to the residential development, which included the stormwater works and other requirements on other properties, the road and the turning head form part of that residential development. As part of the permit, they extend up to 38 metres inside the quarry buffer. And I think the planner was sort of fairly silent on mentioning anything about the buffer, the Old Beach area. Now that precludes sensitive use. But it also precludes sensitive development, doesn't it?
It's sensitive use, from memory, it's sensitive use, so we wouldn't classify the extension of the turning head as sensitive use or sensitive development.
Well, it forms part of the development, so and the actual road extends into it as well, not just the turning head.
Yeah, I don't think I think it's on the lots proper, where you've got the potential future sensitive uses.
Well, whether the stormwater is part of the development and other associated works, or and the road is, or none of them are, like, you can't, I don't think we can pick and choose. And if you look at the scheme, it says the acceptable solutions are use or development, precluding them for non-sensitive stuff, so I'm assuming it includes use or development for sensitive uses as well. We've got development within the quarry buffer. We're not even assessing it. I don't understand.
So you're saying that you think that the road component in the rural zone part is
within the buffer,
is part of the is a sensitive development.
Yeah, with the residential development of that road is part of that sensitive development. Sensitive use.
Yeah, that's not how I would assess it.
But the scheme specifically says use or development. It goes further, like the definition of sensitive use is taken further within the Old Beach specific plan area to say use or development.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't view a road as sensitive use as part of the sensitive use or development. I'll just say it's a road.
Ooh.
Like the residential lots,
it forms.
There will be no sensitive use or development within that rural zoned area.
Well, I think so. If someone's going to drive their car there or park their car there, then that certainly forms part of the residential development.
Unroad zoned rural.
Well, then the road is that it's still within the rural zone.
Can I suggest we look at the timeframes and probably get an opinion on it?
So, I mean, sensitive use
residential use? Sensitive use means a residential use or a use involving the presence of people.
I guess an example of that would be, like, for example, you've got Baskerville Raceway. You've got lots of roads going through Baskerville Raceway, and then internal driveways or driveways off that where the sensitive use sits outside that area. So that road isn't considered a sensitive use or development. It's just a road that provides access to those things.
Would the development be approved without a turning headway?
No.
Yeah, I think we're outside the scheme.
Does that example that you gave, David, about access over or within a buffer zone, along near Baskerville Raceway, for example, does that sort of give you some understanding in regards to it? That obviously the sensitive use is outside the buffer zone, but you have an access road which is within the buffer zone to get to that sensitive use around, for example, that area. Do you see it as any different? In this particular...
I don't, because I think we're creating the access specifically for the residential use. It forms part of the development, so I don't.
Isn't that the same when you're talking about an access to a sensitive use near Baskerville?
I think there's a lot of non-conforming uses and you can't really put the cart before the horse sort of thing, so I wouldn't... I don't think so, no. Opinion that the Albrecht specific area plan wouldn't talk about use or development unless we were preventing both those.
Sorry, what was that reference, Councillor Wynne?
The Albrecht quarry specific area plan talks about acceptable solutions, talks about use or development, whereas other where the sensitive use is talked about in other areas of the scheme, it talks about the use itself. So, this is use or development, no different than a stormwater drain or sewer main sort of thing. We have a road.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, we're not dealing, subdivision's not necessarily dealing with a sensitive use anyway, it's just dealing with development. And I don't think that we're not, the road component isn't actually a sensitive use at all, it's just a road.
I tend to disagree.
Councillors, any further questions? Any points for clarification? If not, we have a recommendation for approval on page 23 of our agenda, subject to conditions. I'm in your hands. Thank you. The recommendation is moved by Councillor Irons. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll now open it for debate.
The only thing I'd probably just like to say is, so I appreciate Councillor Will bringing that up. I hadn't considered that at all, to be honest, but also feel the explanation probably satisfied my liking. I just wanted to very quickly address a couple of the representations around the wildlife aspects, just to have that on the record, particularly Tassie Devils. Obviously, is something I know a fair bit about. It's interesting how often they're used in various situations as a reason that something shouldn't happen without people sort of knowing the movements of devils, I guess. I just think it's worth noting that each devil has lots and lots of dens. Like, one den is not considered a high number of devils in any shape or form, and there's a lot of things when you're actually trying to analyse where dens are, things that you'd never know are a devil den, to be honest, an old hollow log on its side or whatever it is. And, you know, this is an animal that can travel over 50 kilometres a night if it's hungry enough. So they will be seen on cameras, and they will be seen from time to time in areas. We see them in Hobart. We see them in West Hobart one recently. We see them absolutely all over the place. It doesn't necessarily mean it's their most important habitat. So I just wanted to certainly commend the council for bringing someone in to assess that, though, because if it is valuable habitat, we are ploughing it all around Tasmania at a rate of knots. And unfortunately, it's often when it is deemed that it is really important, that's just ignored. So I think in this case, it couldn't be said as really important land to them and would have very, very little effect on them. And so hopefully that allays the concerns of those people that put those representations forward, that they shouldn't have any concerns for the animals, just as a point that one thing I know a bit about, but also obviously leaving as many trees as possible is always always a good thing. Yeah, that's probably all I've got to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councillor Owen, would you like to
address? Yes, thanks, Mayor. I just wanted to support the recommendations from the officers. I still have a real big question mark over that stormwater past the houses on the left-hand side going towards Basketball Road. It's very, very... it needs looking at. But knowing that it will be looked at and addressed, I'll have to support the recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Does anyone like to speak against the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm certainly concerned about two major factors. The requirement on a neighbour to maintain his property to the satisfaction, the bushfire satisfaction of someone else, and possibly having to do that three or four times a year. And then... as part of that, sort of not knowing who's going to be controlling it, whether it's a bushfire practitioner, the council, the neighbour, having a chat with their other neighbour. So I do have concerns that we're sort of putting emphasis on someone else to do something. The other issue is that I am concerned that the use of the development does go within the sense within the buffer area, and that sensitive use isn't permitted by the planning scheme. So probably something that I thought could have been looked at through the assessment of the application by council and the developer. Thank you.
Is there anything further? I'd just like to just touch on that once again, similar to Councillor Owen, I'm happy with the explanation received from staff in regards to the turning circle. So thank you for that, but also I'd like to acknowledge Councillor Whelan's input in regards to this particular debate. It's always good to hear from councillors when they have issues in regards to it. And the second thing is, similar to Councillor Owen, and I'd like to thank the Acting Director of Development Services in regards to the way that they've assessed the stormwater and the acknowledgement that it may actually be beneficial to those surrounding properties and there may be an improvement. So I just wanted to acknowledge those two particular items. Thank you. Is there anything further?
Well, the only thing I tend to agree, Councillor Mayor, I'm glad to hear about the see the Tassie Devil shrinking like and wildlife sitting on that Tassie Devil in my shed at home. So that was really good to see on there, and it came out positive for the subdivider and positive for everyone else. I was a bit worried about the stormwater, but with the explanation I've had from the engineer and others, so I'm reasonably satisfied that we're sort of on top of that. So, and as for the bush prone area, I think most places the council do a check every so often on another area in other parts of the state, as I mentioned. So as long as we keep an eye on it, it's fine. So I'm quite happy to go along with the recommendation.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Geard. Is there anything further? If not, we have a recommendation that's been moved and seconded, and I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against?
No.
Thank you. Two against? Motion is carried. Thank you very much. Can we just get Councillor De La Torre back? 6.2 is a planning scheme amendment to correct minor errors in the South Brighton specific area plan. Hand over to David.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, so this one is just, I guess, an accidental oversight in the drafting of one of the provisions of the South Brighton specific area plan. It relates to just building works on the land. The intent of the condition is to prevent someone to build something that would stop the, I guess, master plan or development framework being implemented. The way it's written at the moment, it says that the building of works can't be on a lot that has been created by an approved subdivision under this specific area plan. So what we failed to pick up when we were drafting it is that we actually already have one subdivision, we're now two, we have subdivision approved at 1 Dillon Street, and we also have the Homes TAS one at 33 Elderslie, which while it was approved after the SAP was approved, the way, because it was submitted prior to the SAP being approved, we approved it under the provisions before the SAP. So effectively what this would do if we left it as is any future dwelling applications on those two parcels of land that were put forward would actually be discretionary under this clause, which is not the intent. So what we're proposing is to actually just change the wording that says that building works must be on a lot that has been created after the date of this SAP. So no lots have been created yet. So by changing the wording like that, future dwellings will follow that no permit required pathway as intended. The only other thing to point out with this is that we have got consent from both the affected landowners that this relates to, and we're asking the Planning Commission to dispense with the public exhibition requirements because it is actually just a minor error, and I think they'll agree that it's what was intended in the first place. So that's part of the recommendation.
Thank you, David. Councillors, questions? If not, there's a recommendation on page 42. Is someone prepared to move?
Sorry, quick question.
Councillor Whelan.
So if they don't dispense with the advertising period, then someone wants to build a garage or something, they might be waiting for that process to finish?
No, at the moment. Sorry, if someone wanted to build a garage now.
Yeah, an outbuilding or something like that.
They would
have to wait until...
No, they could still continue it under the existing. So basically it's just as it is now. So until we get a decision one way or the other, planning scheme stays the same as it is now.
Yep. So, just another thing. Do the building areas apply to that requirement? So if someone wants to build a fairly large structure but they want to push it right up into the corner of the lot, as shown on the area plan.
Yeah, so they could still, so you could still provide, put in an application now and demonstrate that you weren't going to preclude the master plan.
Yeah.
It just has to go down the discretionary pathway.
Yep.
So you can still do it.
Significant compliance with the master plan. So yeah.
Yeah, that's yep. Right. Yeah.
Thank you. The recommendation has been moved by Councillor Whelan, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. That concludes our Planning Authority meeting for this evening. Thank you very much.